Hello and welcome back to the Affinity Finance podcast. Today I'm joined by Carl Robson of Paramount Legal Costs. For those who don't know, Carl is a costs lawyer who has close to 10 years experience in both contentious and non-contentious cost. Carl previously worked in-house at a top 20 law firm before joining Paramount Legal Costs in 2019. Carl deals with a variety of complex cost matters, including commercial disputes, personal injury, clinical negligence, and private clients. Carl recently wrote an article for our website which highlights the recoverability of interest on disbursements and where we are at the start of 2021. Today, we're going to discuss that topic in more depth. Welcome to the podcast, Carl.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Carl, the article that you wrote was brilliant. Now, I read through that and I have a couple of questions and hopefully they'll be of some benefit to our listeners. So, yeah. Does the type of claim impact the recoverability of prejudgment interest?
Yeah, so the short answer to that is yes. So if we look at commercial cases, it's generally accepted that the prejudgment interest should be allowed. So that's as per a decision of Justice Leggett in the Involnet Abel Grange case. Unfortunately, we've seen in some civil matters and civil and PI that the courts have sometimes taken the view that there's no authority for prejudgment interest. But thankfully for the receiving parties, in recent case law, that's been examined specifically. And thankfully, for receiving parties, it is, the courts found that the CPR is enough authority to award the prejudgment interest.
So why is there a difference of the approach then?
Well, it's an odd one. It's a good question. It's the courts acknowledged in the recent Godfrey case that there's a strange and unjust difference between the normalised approach between the commercial courts and the civil courts. But unfortunately, they didn't really go beyond that into specifics. I think from my sort of guesswork on it is that I think if we look at a broad brush approach, the costs involved in commercial claims are higher than that in the civil and PI matters. So I think that adds on to additional costs. So I think they're just a little bit more likely to award it. I think, again, a little bit speculative, but in commercial court, I think they're just more used to dealing with interest and therefore a little bit more likely to award it.
Okay, that's very interesting. So, Carl, what is the starting point when looking at recovery of interest on disbursements?
Yeah, there's the best starting point is probably to have a little bit of a quick examine of the case law. Obviously, I'm not going to go into a huge amount of detail on each case on the basis that, obviously, as you mentioned, I did a blog post on it. The main case which receiving parties tend to rely on is that of the Jones and Secretary of State case from 2013. But it's a little bit of a strange starting point, mainly because the issue of whether the authority was there was agreed before a hearing. So the defendant in that matter agreed that in principle there was the authority for prejudgment interest, and the court was simply asked to rule on the level of interest that was awarded. After that, we've had a sort of a couple of little quiet periods. So in 2016, we had a Powell, the Powell case, similar to that of Jones. The defendant agreed before a hearing that interest on the disbursements was recoverable. And again, the court was just asked to have a look at the level of interest. So after that, we had a real quiet period up until sort of the back end of 2020. Where we've sort of had a little bit of a spate of cases which have looked at the interest and whether the interest recoverable on disbursements. So we've had the Nosworthy and Royal Bournemouth case, we've had Marlborough and Sharps, we've had the Godfrey and Automotive case. Unfortunately, all of them have failed for slightly different reasons, whether or not that's because the court have said that there isn't authority there or it just wasn't appropriate. Yeah, so we've had a few little different reasons. I think if we have a look at the case law, it can... I know it sounds very doom and gloom if we have a look at the case law, because obviously it hasn't been overly favourable. But I think if we delve a little bit deeper into the reasonings behind the decisions, I think there's a little bit more reason to be positive. Just to take a little quote from the Godfrey and Automotive case from District Judge Baldwin, So what he was, this was when he was looking at the difference between the civil and commercial matters. He said that whilst it might be engaging for the court to consider itself being placed in the potential vanguard of movement for change, this is not the occasion. So I think obviously that demonstrates that there is a more of a positive shift towards recovering it. But I think overall, we're not in a position to say, yes, we can recover, or no, we can't recover prejudgment interest on disbursements. I think the most we can say is that there is a mechanism there for recovering the prejudgment interest.
It's very interesting. And those, a few of those cases there that you've mentioned, are something that we discuss from our side as well. So thanks, Carl. So obviously you see a lot of these cases, and obviously the discussion around interest and the recoverability. What would you say are the common most common stumbling blocks when trying to recover interest on disbursements?
Yeah, we've had a little bit of a shift, or to my mind, we've had a little bit of shift on the barriers. So originally, or previously, we've had barriers as to whether or not the authority was actually there to award the prejudgment interest. So the main argument being from the courts that had Parliament intended for there to be a mechanism to recover interest on borrowing in litigation, they would have created a specific provision. But like previously mentioned, the courts appear to be shifting a little bit away from that. And are happy that CPR, in particular CPR 44.26, provides the relevant authority now. So now we're moving away from the authority arguments, as it were, and moving into more of a, is it appropriate arguments, which from a receiving party's point of view, I think is a little bit easier, because obviously you've removed one of the stumbling blocks. But having said that, we don't know exactly what the court's looking for to award the interest. And obviously another main stumbling block is arguments from opposing parties. Because of where we're at in terms of case law, I think paying parties are always going to be arguing against the recovery of it. So obviously it's something that receiving parties are going to have to persist with and carry on fighting the fight, as it were.
So with that in mind then, what would you say needs to happen for recoverability of interest on disbursements to happen?
Yeah, it's a difficult one to answer, but I think from my own opinion is that we need a little bit of a perfect storm. So it needs to be the right claimant, the right claim, the right disbursement, in front of the right judge at the right time. I think it needs to sort of, the stars need to align on it. But obviously, if we look at the case law, and particularly the number of cases we've had recently, there seems to be a bit more of an appetite for awarding the interest. We just haven't quite hit that point as yet. I think for me, any arguments put forward, I think access to justice has to be at the forefront of any argument. I think a receiving party needs to demonstrate that had the funding or litigation funding not been in place to provide for a disbursement, then the case wouldn't have been able to proceed or succeed. So, for example, if litigation funding is used to get an expert report, it would be hugely helpful if you could point to that report and say, this has contributed to the level of quantum, and had funding not been available, the claimant's claim would have suffered. Or even better, if it's a liability dispute and you get disbursement funding for, something like an accident reconstruction expert or something like that, and you can point to that and say, this report sorted the issue of liability, is absolutely paramount to the claim. I certainly think that is helpful in trying to argue for the recoverability of the interest on that. I also think we can look at or draw slight parallels with court fees and the fee remission, which obviously the fee remission is there to help parties with no savings or uncertain benefits or low income with court fees. And obviously that helps with access to justice. And for me, this is where companies like Affinity come in. The funding provided for the disbursement allows that access to justice. So from my point of view, it's why shouldn't they benefit from that interest?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, we are, as you mentioned just then, Carl, we are starting to see, it might be a slight shift, but we are starting to see some movement. Do you think we'll ever get to a point where interest on disbursement will always be agreed or awarded?
Again, it's a tough one. I don't think, from my point of view, it will ever get a general rule that it'll be every single time it'll be awarded. I think because of the nature of the point, I know it's a lawyer's favourite saying, but it's a case-by-case basis. And by that, I mean it depends totally on the financial position of a claimant, the type of claim, the level of disbursement. But like I said, we are moving in a positive way. So I think it's sort of incumbent on the receiving parties that if those positive decisions start coming in, then they sort of force the point, if that makes sense.
No, it does. No, I really appreciate that. So to end then, Carl, what is your practical advice to give yourself the best chance of recovering the interest?
Yeah, I think from a cost and recovery point of view, I think Paramount's advice would always be that the interest should be included within a bill, and you should be arguing for it. But obviously, to stand the best chance, it should be backed up with evidence. And by that, I mean that you need to demonstrate that the disbursement funding was the appropriate funding to get. And had that not been in place, then a claim wouldn't have succeeded, and therefore it's reasonable to seek the interest. So this is a little bit where litigators come in, and obviously before the file gets to us as cost lawyers right at the end, I think we need to sort of look and try and predict arguments that you're going to get later down the line. So try and address those at the time, so you're not trying to sort of retrospectively justify it. But obviously, what we wouldn't advise is that if you have, I don't know, just picking random figures out of the air, but if you had £10 interest, I wouldn't recommend spending £10,000 to try and get that. Obviously, that's not proportionate, it's not reasonable, it's just not good advice. So yeah, there's still a need obviously to be proportionate when trying to recover it, but it certainly shouldn't be something to concede, or I certainly wouldn't anyway. But yeah, I say overall I think there are reasons to be cautiously optimistic, and say the case law is the pearl in this one. It's just keeping an eye on it, and hopefully for receiving parties continue to be positive, and we get some good results in the future.
Absolutely. So I think, like you said, let's keep our eye out and keep watching everything. But Carl, honestly, really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. I'm sure our listeners will have found it extremely beneficial. So thank you. Thank you very much.
That's absolutely no problem at all. Thank you.